This is Improvisations to Go.
So many of the things that you enjoy would not exist without sponsors. Improvisations to Go has three great ones. Aubrey's, you can get it to go. Lucid Media, spell that L-U-S-I-D. And Interspace Yoga and Meditation Supplies, making every day a good day. Hello, I'm Todd Steed, and I am a ping pong ball, and travel is the paddle. You see, the question is always the same. How do you maximize your time without destroying your entire experience by maximizing your time? And I don't mean just in travel, but especially in travel, and especially in DC where there's a million things to do. And on top of that, I got four pals that live there, four good friends. Which one should I try to see? You know, I don't rank the pals like who's number one, though number one would probably be. Anyway, should I go to Baltimore and spend the only unscheduled 4 hours I have? Or should I relax? Or should I hit two museums for an hour each, or one museum for 2 hours? And if I do that, should it be art or history? Or maybe just not see a museum at all this time, but sit down and have a fabulous meal. But that'll eat up an hour. So maybe I should just grab a pupusa to go. And why is pupusa so much fun to say? Pupusa, pupusa. And if I say pupusa again, well, I just did, I will have wasted the time that I could have used to do that bit about all the delivery people running around in DC. But to heck with that, let's say it again, all together. Pupusa. You know, the other issue, and while we're getting into issues, let's just go ahead and get into them all. I've got an issue sometimes I can't be happy enough just where I am. I feel like there's more happiness somewhere else and I should go there instead of just enjoying the moderate happiness I'm having now. So when Lee Gardner said, hey, you know, Baltimore is pretty close. I know you're having a nice time in DC, but if you come to Baltimore, we can do a record store hunt. Okay. That's it. My decision has been made for me. Lee said he'd pick me up at the train station. Okay, I can take a train. He's going to treat me to lunch, and we're going to hunt for records. So there you go. Sometimes the decisions make themselves, and there I was, on a train ride, relaxed, having a nice time. And I arrived at the worn but friendly Baltimore Penn Station that looks exactly what a train station should look like, even the worn out part. And out front was my old buddy Lee Gardner. We used to work together in radio, actually, at WUTK, debating on who gets to play the Jason and the Scorcher song next. Anyway, Lee had my trip planned out, and it started out with very delicious food. Our Nirvana lunch experience took place at Ekiben, which is a kind of an Asian fusion. I don't know, really, but I just know it was delicious and everything came in a bun. But not like a Kearns bun, but like some exotic Chinese bun. And whatever was inside made me extremely happy to the point where I could not be happier somewhere else. That's how good that food was. So we got caught up a little bit, but it was time to hunt for records. And I know it's not much of a sport because they can't run from you. And credit cards being what they are, you really can bag beyond your limit. And that I did. Without going into detail about what I got, here is just a smattering of all the records that I bought in Baltimore. Take it away, records.
You find Earth boring, just the same old, same thing. Come on, sign up without a space, ways incorporated. If you find earth. Boring, just the same old, same thing. Come on, sign up without a space, Ways Incorporated.
So the first record store we went to was a place called the Sound Garden, which of course immediately I'm thinking, okay, which one came first? And then before I could get into that, a Sun Ra record captured my attention, and then there were other things that I'd been looking for and never been able to find, and there's just something so much better about holding them in your hands, holding that little prize, knowing that when you get home, you're going to have this great tactile experience. But the real bonus for me, and this is going to be a bit patting myself on the back, when I took up my selections, and there were about 6 or 7 recordings that I took to the counter, the guy at the counter said, "This looks like exactly what I would buy. This is my collection." I felt validated, quite frankly, and record store clerk validation is the purest validation there is. That's what I think. After our trip to the Sound Garden, I had enough music to last me for quite a while, but greed kicked in, and I let it kick in. So we went to Normal's Books and Records, which really is this just fabulous place with a music room next to it. And I talked to Rupert, who owned the place, who loved music as much as anybody.
Hi, I'm Rupert Wondolowski, co-owner of Normal's Books and Records in Baltimore.
Where did Frank Zappa grow up around here? Do you know what area he was in?
I know there's a statue for him in Dundalk, so I would guess that's probably in that area. Essex, Dundalk.
When did you start this store and why, and why Normal's?
It opened in 1990, and at that time, it was me and 8 other people, 9 co-owners altogether.
How many?
9.
Well, whose idea was that?
Crazy.
You didn't think 8 was enough?
It started with, I guess there were like 3 or 4 of us who were already working at a used bookstore, and, you know, we were starting to age, and we're like, we should be doing this for ourselves and keep all this mad money for ourselves. And we all were fellow writers and musicians and artists, and once we started the ball rolling, then started accumulating other friends and everything, and we kind of almost had to cut it off at 9. I mean, there were actually other people being talked about being co-owners, and it was kind of good in the beginning to have that many people, because everybody brought different skill sets to the game, and plus in the first few months had to donate a lot of free labor to, you know, set the store up and, you know, get things going. Then as the years went on, it kind of, the numbers dwindled, mainly from people just moving out of state, and now we're down to 3 co-owners. But pretty amazing is 29 years and really not much ugliness. You know, considering that many people, even though everyone's close friends, you know, business can be crazy, and it's all been good, pretty much.
So who's the Jeff Lynn of this Electrolyte Orchestra? Is there a Jeff Lynn?
Wow,
Lynn,
or wow.
Well, I've never used that before.
Funny you should mention his name. There's someone who worked here for, I guess, 2 decades? Yeah, no. Close to 2 decades, was a very legendary cult artist and writer, Blaster Al Ackerman. Not a co-owner, but worked here actually probably more hours than most of the co-owners. Moved here from Texas, and just one of the funniest, best-read people I've ever met in my life, but ELO was his favorite band. That's where I was going with that.
I wondered whose favorite was.
That's where I was going. But yeah, I do not understand ELO well enough to answer your question.
I mean, one of my favorite things to do when I go to a new city is to find the local record store, you know, with at least two owners.
Right.
You know, preferably eight.
We've got owners for you.
Can I be an owner for a couple of weeks? And you know, one of the things you can't do on streaming services in a way is like have a conversation with a curator. I mean, sometimes there's a curator, sometimes there's not.
Right.
So you've chosen some of these for me.
Indeed.
Can you tell me a little bit about, like, say the name of this and who this is?
That's Lafayette Gilchrist, his album Ecologic Dreams. Lafayette is an amazing kind of soul jazz pianist who's been in the area for decades. He's been lauded in Downbeat magazine and many other magazines. Really accomplished player.
And Andrew Bernstein, An Exploded View of Time.
Yes, Andrew Bernstein is probably best known as a member of the Horse Lords, who have a fourth album about to come out, and they've toured the world many times, and they're really a fantastic band. And Andrew probably has four solo albums. His bandmate Owen does not know the exact number of Andrew's solo albums, but that one has received a lot of great reviews, and it's currently Dan Deacon, famous Dan Deacon of Baltimore, picked 5 to 10 of his favorite albums on Bandcamp, and that's actually one of them at the moment, to Andrew Bernstein.
And how would you describe the Baltimore jazz scene right now, like in historical terms, like where is it in the arc?
It's coming back. It had, because we've been around forever, and jazz was always one of our main genres that we sold and that people were interested in. It went through a weird period. I was kind of surprised, about 5 years, where it seemed like the city and its artists were slightly down on jazz. And now, the last 3 or 4 years, it's like red hot. The interest in it is near a peak.
And if you're not here with us, and you're not, actually, if you're listening to this, you're not with us. So the record store and the bookstore, they actually, like, I've never been in a place where they actually switch over in the middle of you know, the actual main room.
Right.
So, like, there are books in the room I'm looking at to the far right, but the books, I see James Agee actually looking at me.
Yes.
James Agee Rediscovered is there. And then David Bowie and Ronald Chandler Jackson are here. And then the Red Room, is this it?
Yeah, through that door is the Red Room.
Like, if I walk in here, will something happen?
Careful.
So this very much feels like a neighborhood record store, a community place.
I feel like it's very community oriented, and you can get, you know, we stock all sorts of music and books that I feel reflect the neighborhood. Waverly has always been a very progressive neighborhood.
So you're not going to move to a strip mall, just, you know, to
not going
to
happen anytime soon.
Because I got 23 owners that are wanting to go in on it with you.
Right. Because just the move from two doors away was so intense. I don't want to go through that again ever. I'm getting too old.
Well, it sounds good to me. Hey, Rupert, thanks.
Hey, thank you. It's been fun talking to you. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, and I'm going to buy some records now.
And I want to point out that as I speak to you, there are at least two other podcasters in the store. Lee Gardner of Essential Tremors, and then Mark Gunnery. I forget the name of his podcast, but he just walked in. So we're filthy with podcasters.
We've got you surrounded. Come out with your ELO records up. It was time for the ping pong paddle to hit me again, send me back to D.C., so Lee drove me back to the train station, but, you know, why waste that 12-minute drive with no interview? So I interviewed him. in his car.
It's like if there's one person you want to go to a record store with to make sure you don't buy something, this Lee Gardner is not that person. He will not talk you out of anything. He will not say, you know, don't take a chance on that.
You know, it's music is one of the best things that has come of this universe. So, you know, more of it is always good.
And that's kind of amazing that at one point, which is the point of now, you went from being a record hound listener to a record company producer.
Yes, sort of.
I mean, you've got it. I mean, very VG plus. You call it very good plus or VG plus?
I call it very good plus, but I seem to be in the minority. So.
Because I call it very good plus. When I read that, that's what I call it.
Right, but you know, I think it's going to be one of those things that people are divided on. And as long as you mention us, I don't care.
Well,
I say us like there's somebody else. There isn't. It's just me.
Well, in this Subaru, we have a consensus. And you've got two releases, and they're very different from each other.
Yeah, that turns out to have been something of a logistical challenge. It's like it's much easier if you can say, oh, I'm a psych label, or oh, I'm a jazz label. But the first release is a reissue of a band from the 90s from Knoxville called Picks and Lighters, who made some pretty amazing music and then kind of disappeared. But they made one LP along with a bunch of tapes and other things, and I reissued that. And the record that came out after that is a duo record from Susan Alcorn, who's a pedal steel guitarist who lives here in Baltimore, and she plays pedal steel, and she played in country bands for years, but what she does is she's an improviser and composer, and she's just a great musician. She's why I wanted to do a record label finally in the first place. And she made a beautiful duo record with a saxophonist from Oakland named Philip Greenleaf, and you know, it's just sublime. I'm so happy with how it turned out. I'm really proud of it, and you should buy some copies of it so that I don't have them all in my basement.
Excuse me, this is Todd from the future. Since I did this interview back in February, there's another record that Lee's released, the Susan Alcorn Quintet Paternal, that I like even more than the other one. So let's have just a quick listen to that. Susan Alcorn on pedal steel and Mary Halverson on guitar. We now return to February 2020, pre-pandemic. I asked Lee about the Picks and Lighters record and why it smelled like a campfire.
Well, yes, the original cover, I think as an economical means and as just a way to do something kind of cool, they burned all the original covers, just a plain white cover, on a stove eye. Electric stove eye, and then they wrote on the back of them. All the covers on the originals were handwritten or drawn. And so for the reissue, I had blank sleeves printed with a printed back, but I burn all the covers on a hot plate because I couldn't find an electric stove. And it's not something you want to do indoors anyway. So I've heard stories about people dropping off when they dropped off copies in Knoxville record stores back when they put it out in 1997, I think, mid-90s, that like people who worked at the record stores would like remember that smell, that sort of like burnt, toasty smell from the covers.
Yeah, so Baltimore in 4 hours, we did it. We're now at pulling into the train station, which is really cool. I actually really loved coming up here on the train.
It's a beautiful building. I wish that it were in better shape. I don't know, if you look around the station before your train, you'll notice that one whole platform is closed off, and you know, has parts of it have definitely seen better days. But you know, that's kind of like
Baltimore itself, really. I mean, this is an amazing place, and it's had a few hard times, but there's still so much that's great and beautiful about it. And I think that still comes across even between some of the parts that people get hung up about, you know, vacant buildings or something like that. There's just so much here that, you know, it's hard to be bored.
Back on the train, thumbing through the records, something Lee told me kind of stuck. He said, "You can't make old friends." And that's true. You can make new ones. And you can try to make old ones, but at my age, it's probably too late to make an old friend. I guess you can get started. But there's nothing quite like someone you've known for 20, 30, 40 years. And Lee is one of those guys, you know. I've been around him long enough, we've known each other long enough, that we just kind of be ourselves, don't try to impress each other. I don't BS him, because first of all, I don't feel the need to. Second of all, he would know that I'm BSing him. And that kind of friend is a pot of gold, or a stack of records, or whatever you want to call it. Of course, I'll never tell him this because I'm male, right? And I don't express these things. In fact, I'll probably cut this out of the podcast. But if I don't, it will be a sure sign that I'm growing up just a little bit. Okay, time for more music. And the ping pong sends me to a place called Spin. And this time, the ping pong is literal. That's right. This place called Spin features jazz music, food, drink, and ping pong. Now, I loved ping pong as a kid, but there was always something about the game that drove me absolutely crazy, chasing the stupid little balls. But in this place, they have solved that age-old problem. That's right. No more chasing the little ping pong ball, because they hire somebody to chase it for you. Simple brilliance on display. And not only that, incredible music. There's this young guy, Stephen Arnold, a bassist, composer, and he's playing there. The ping pong balls are going everywhere. And the music is extraordinary. And I'm thinking, how many people like this are there out there that I've never heard of, but are extraordinary? And if I could only find their music, I would love it. I don't know, but I think there's a lot. I caught up with Stephen at a coffee shop that I really don't need to tell you the name of. We had a nice chat.
My name is Stephen Arnold with a PH. I'm a bassist and composer based in Washington, D.C. I play electric bass, upright bass, a whole bunch of different genres.
You may have noticed by now I have certain stock questions. Here's my favorite. What's the local scene like?
I think that there's a sort of smaller scene as far as band leaders and people writing original music. But that's not to say that it's not, like, of the highest quality. A couple guys that I would always go out to see were Reginald Cinci, the trombone player. Chris Fun recently put out his, I guess it was a couple years ago, put out his record, Corner Store. What I would say is that the venues do not necessarily lend themselves to presenting, quote-unquote, your opus or whatever. But, you know, that's what we're going to try to do here today. So it's like, yeah, I mean, there are very few listening rooms.
The listening rooms that he mentioned, Twins, which we'll get into next episode, and then Blues Alley, that's where I saw Benny Golson. But for now, we're at Spin, which is not a listening room, but the music is still very listenable and of really great quality. And plus they got ping pong. I asked Steve, did he ever partake?
Yeah, that was originally the main thing about the gig. It was like, because they originally, when we started playing, it was like the perfect gig. They had us playing from like 2 to 5. Perfect. There was like nobody there, and you just play ping pong on the breaks. And they still let us play if there aren't any. You have to like reserve the table, so if a table isn't reserved, they'll let us go play. It was a lot of fun.
I imagine Steven's pretty good at ping pong, but he's really good at composing and arranging. And at Spin, which is a ping pong place in a non-listening room, there are people listening, there are people not listening, but everybody's absorbing it. The music adds to the ambiance. It's kind of dual purpose. It's there if you want to go deep. It's there if you want to stay on the surface. And that's the beautiful thing about jazz music. It really can work as both. But I got to tell you, you got to listen to this record because it's quite special. And he used his gig at Spin to rehearse for the recording of this record. Previous gigs, he had just played the book, you know, the standards, your take fives and your all blues and those kinds of things. But then he said, hey, he started putting his own music in and people liked it too. So people can handle jazz. That's a myth. People can handle it. You're handling it right now. See, it's nice. Not only is it not painful, it's beautiful music. And on the final episode of season 2 of Improvisations to Go, we're going to investigate some places that maybe aren't even here anymore, but were magical while they existed. Isn't that the way it always is? I'm Todd Steed. Keep listening, even if just to the surface. Musicians are the heart of Improvisations to Go. Some of the music you heard in this episode comes from Picks and Lighters, Susan Alcorn, Keith Butler, Daniel Kimbrough, Hunter Deacon, Matt Richardson, Beto Braga from Brazil, Stephen Arnold, I did some of it. A big thanks to our sponsors for making all of this come alive. Aubrey's, Lucid Media, Innerspace Yoga and Supplies. We couldn't do it without you, and we couldn't do it without WUOT. Thanks for listening, even if just on the surface.